In the gospel today, our Lord clarifies the point regarding the resurrection and tells us two things that we need to be clear about what it means. First of all, he reminds us that in the resurrection, there will be no marriage. People will neither marry nor be given in marriage. For some married people, that is a great point of rejoicing. For others, it is great sadness. Because if they are truly in love with one another, they think, why can't we be married for eternity? Others will be very grateful to be rid of their cross. But that's not what it's about. Because marriage is a prefiguration of heaven. And so marriage ends at death because God has something even greater, even more intimate, even more profound than what is there in marriage on earth. And so the marriage of two people ends because we enter into the marriage feast of the Lord. Every single person in the mystical body will be united in a union that is closer than marriage. Forget all the physical stuff, obviously, because that's not going to be an issue. But all of us are going to be united with Jesus. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride. Whether you're male or female, doesn't matter. You're part of the bride. And all of us are going to be united together. And so the union of a couple in marriage then prefigures what heaven is going to be. So in this case then, we have to look at it and ask the question, does your marriage prefigure what you want heaven to be? For a lot of couples, that's going to bring them despair. It's like, oh my goodness, if this is what I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of eternity. But now the challenge is, what are you going to do to make your marriage more like what heaven is about? Because the Lord made very clear what it's all about is love. That, I don't need to remind you, is what you vowed on the day that you got married. That you're going to love this person every day for the rest of your life. That doesn't mean have gushy feelings. That means to serve. It means to die to self. It means to put the other one first. That is painful. It is difficult. And it is freedom. Because love is what we're created for. And that's what God has called us to, and married couples in a very, very specific way. So it is not an easy way of life. It is a way of life of saints. But the Lord tells us that in heaven, we will be like the angels. He doesn't say, will we become angels? You will never be an angel. Angels are angels. Human beings are human beings. You will be a human being for the rest of eternity. But you will become like the angels. The angels being pure spirit, they just simply love with their whole being. We don't have that ability right now, but we can move toward it. And that's exactly what God wants again from every last one of us. He wants us to love with our whole heart and soul and strength. And I will tell you point blank, one of the most tragic things that I have dealt with for 34 years now dealing with married couples is they do not want to love more. I don't know why. I don't get it. You made a vow to love this other person and all we want is just to keep the status quo. Because if I love more, that's going to change the relationship. No kidding. But I don't want the relationship to change. I know what it's like to be miserable with this person, so I'll just keep it that way. That's not what marriage is supposed to be. You're supposed to love one another more and more and more every single day and every single minute of every single day. That's what you're going to do for all eternity. You're going to love God and you're going to love one another more and more and more. That's what God wants to start now. That's what the call to married life is. A call to love more and more and more. not what can I do to get away with the least amount that I can possibly get away with. Again, project that forward. What are you going to look at when you say that to God? I want to love you as little as I can get away with for the rest of eternity. So I like to remind married couples, I doubt that you would have been willing to enter into the marriage if your spouse would have looked at you and said, I'm going to love you as little as I can possibly get away with for the rest of our lives. What a great relationship that's going to be, huh? No, the idea is, I'm going to love you as much as I possibly can every day for the rest of our lives. And if you love 100%, that will open your heart to love more. So 100% tomorrow is going to be more than what 100% is today. But if you don't love 100%, you're not going to love more tomorrow than you did today. Because in order to move forward, you have to use 100% of the virtue you have already developed in order to develop more. God wants you to be a saint. That's why he called you to marriage. Because married life is a way of saints. Because if the greatest commandment is to love, and that is the very vow that people make when they enter into marriage, this is a call to perfection. This is a call to profound holiness. This is a call to be saints. It is a call to prepare for eternal life, because that's what eternal life is going to be. Love God and love neighbor with your whole heart and soul and strength. That's what needs to start even now. That's what it's all about. So married life is not about, well, certainly not about gush, nor is it about just enduring. Married life is about taking up your cross, who is going to look and feel just like your spouse, but it is to grow in holiness. It is to love your cross, not in a negative way, in a positive way, the way that Jesus did. The cross brought about our salvation. Your cross is going to bring your salvation as well. Love that person with your whole heart and soul and strength. And your marriage and the love within the marriage is going to continue to grow. And it will truly be a prefiguration of the beauty of what married life will be in the marriage of the Lamb for eternity.